Philippians chapter 2, this is God's word. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Very simply today, if you just want to know what's the summation, what's this about? It's about the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? Can I get you to say that? Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, that's it. That's the message. Now, we're going to look at some details. We're going to look at some applications. But I want you to understand, if you were to leave here today and somebody said, oh, what did Pastor Wood talk about today? I wasn't able to be there and hear it. What did he say? He said, Jesus Christ is Lord. Got it? Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I honestly believe that there are a number of reasons why God wants us to focus on that today. And that it has to do with different things in different people's lives. But there are a few things, a few reasons why I believe the Lord wants us to talk about it. We're going to go into the text and look at some other facets of this text. But let me tell you, as I'm saying, God, you know, is very familiar, and we've been over this, and I've taught it fairly recently. And so, I mean, you know, really, why do we need to do this? Well, first of all, let me tell you, because it's true. Okay? This is not a theme from a political party that wants to see somebody get elected, and so they're talking as if he's already won. Okay? That happens sometimes in political campaigns. That's not what's going on here. Jesus Christ is not running for office. He is Lord. He is. When Jesus is commissioning his disciples at the end of Matthew's gospel, he says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. What we are to be doing is predicated on, based on, built on the fact that Jesus Christ is already Lord. So we go out and do what we're supposed to do, not in order to try and get him into a position of being Lord, but we go out and do what we're supposed to do based on the fact that he already is Lord. So the first reason we need to be clear about this is because it's true. It is already the truth, and therefore it is right for us to know it and speak it and remember it and live in light of it. Is that clear? Tell you another reason it's important to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. The devil hates him. Okay? It really bugs the crud out of the devil. When we just proclaim the truth, for one thing, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He hates the truth. He absolutely hates the truth. But the fact of the matter is, he knows the truth is true. He knows that Jesus is Lord. If you'll recall, every time there was a confrontation between Jesus and the demons, it was not a big contest. Okay? The demons had to submit to him. They had to do what he commanded. In Mark chapter 5, they pleaded with Jesus not to send them out of the region. Why? Because they knew that if he sent them out of the region, they had to go. Now, Jesus gave them permission to stay in the region. He gave them permission to go into a herd of swine and cause the same kind of self-destructive, suicidal behavior in the swine that those demons had been generating in the men that they possessed. But I want you to understand, the demons knew that they had to do whatever Jesus said. If Jesus says you can go in the swine, then they can go in the swine. If Jesus said, no, you got to leave the region, they had to leave the region. And in fact, there were demons that cried out to Jesus and said, have you come to torment us before the time? See, they don't have the full agenda. They don't know how it all works. They just know that one of these days they're going to be absolutely destroyed and that Jesus is in charge of all that. They recognized that Jesus is Lord. And you know why? Because Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. I mean, he really is. And the devil doesn't like to be reminded. So I would submit to you that we need to be armed for warfare and then beat up on the devil by reminding him that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? You want to just make him want to run? Remind him that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because, let me be sure I'm clear about this, Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? Did you get that? He is. He is Lord. And therefore, we need to proclaim that truth and live our lives in light of that. We need to behave based on the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, let's look at a few things in this passage. First of all, Paul says he makes an appeal to the people in Philippi, to the believers there. He's writing to Christians. And in the NIV, I like the way they translate this. He keeps using the word any. Any. Okay? It's a little short word, A-N-Y. You might want to say Annie, but then people think you're talking about a girl. So any is the way I would say that, okay? Instead of Annie. All right? If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Okay? He doesn't just say, if you are encouraged by being united with Christ. He says, even if you're just encouraged a little bit. Okay? If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. United with Christ. Think about that. If you are a Christian, and he's writing to Christians, you are united with Christ. You've been joined by God with God through Jesus Christ. You're united with him. Does that mean anything to you? Does that encourage you even a little bit? How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm just kind of having a hard time. I want to do well, but sometimes I get discouraged.
Well, Eeyore, let me ask you this. Okay? Do you have any encouragement from the fact that you're united with Christ? Many years ago, I was in charge of recreation for some kids at a day camp. And we were playing, as I recall, Duck, Duck, Goose. And I know you've not seen this side of me, but I was actually being competitive. And so when I got tapped and the other person starts out running this way, I started running this way, and the child who was running with me became airborne. Okay? So I'm running along, and instead of 4 feet on the ground, we had 2 feet on the ground and 2 feet in the air. Okay? And so this child is sailing behind me, which was fine until we met the other people coming around the other way, and she took a knee to the rib cage. It was a big circle. So I look back to be sure she's okay. And she's like, And I thought, she's having a ball. And I kept running. Well, turns out, no. She was having a hard time breathing. She was hurting. We won. We made it all the way around the circle before the other people made it around the circle. And I looked at her and she's like, I felt terrible. Tears coming down her face. Nothing broken. Just startled and hurt. And oh, I felt awful. I felt just awful. Let me tell you, in that kind of situation, you don't want to be united with me. Okay? That would not be an encouraging thing. Well, we won! Yeah, but, you know, I can't breathe and I hurt and that was terrible. I'm scared to death. Okay. I am not united to some college guy who thinks it's important to win at Duck, Duck, Goose. I am united to the King of the universe who loved me so much that he gave his life for me. And he wins the victory on my behalf, and I get the reward of his victory. I find that very encouraging. So Paul says, do you have any encouragement from being united with Christ? If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, does it comfort you at all that he loves you? That he loves you. He really loves you. He doesn't just tolerate you. He doesn't just put up with you. He loves you. Does that comfort you at all? When other people don't like you, when other people wouldn't choose you, when other people are unkind to you, do you find any comfort in the fact that the King of the universe loves you? Well, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, this is saying, if you're really connected, fellowship with the Spirit of God, is what God makes possible through the atoning sacrifice of Christ. Because of what Jesus did, everything that stood against us has been nailed to the cross, and now we're able to enjoy fellowship with God Himself through the Holy Spirit. That is absolutely fair. I can talk with God and He talks with me. Okay? He's not off somewhere and I just learn about Him from the creation. No, He has come to live inside of me. I'm a child of God. I'm indwelt by his Spirit. Intimacy with God is the birthright of everyone who is born again. Now that, personally, I find tremendously encouraging. Well, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if you have any fellowship with the Spirit, if you have any tenderness and compassion, do you have any? Even a little? Do you just have a little bit of compassion? Could I find some ounce of compassion in you? If you have any tenderness and compassion, then do me a favor, Paul says. Then make my joy complete. I will be just completely happy, totally joyful, if you'll do this. Here's what I want you to do. Based on what you have in Christ, as a favor to me, Paul says, I want you to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Well, what does that look like? Well, you won't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Well, it's kind of a tall order. I mean, don't do anything out of selfish ambition. That's right, nothing. Cut that out of your life. Die to that. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. I don't think that's right. I believe that it's important to have a healthy self-esteem. And that means, in good American fashion, I should go around going, yeah, baby, I'm the one. We're number one. We're number one. Yeah, man. Is that not Christian? No, it's not. Well, we are number one. In what? In what? Do you ever notice that all the news networks are number one? The most watched. The most trusted. America's news source. What? I mean, have you noticed in Pigeon Forge, all the theaters have been voted the best show? By whom? Their employees? Okay. I mean, where was this survey done? Why are all the restaurants the favorite? Okay. The highest rated. By whom? These stupid, silly ways in which we try and preen and make ourselves feel really important. That's just sick. That's pathetic. Don't do that. Vain conceit. Get rid of it. Instead, consider others better than yourselves. What does that look like practically? Does that mean I'm just supposed to have an inferiority complex and say, well, yes, I like to run, but that person's probably faster. In fact, probably everybody's faster than I am. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about how you rank the importance of meeting needs. Which is more important? To make sure everybody gets to eat, or to make sure that I get the biggest piece? I would like the biggest piece, please. Well, I'll just tell you a little secret here about marriage, because some of you may want to get married someday. If you focus on pleasing your mate and taking care of their needs, you will have a much happier marriage. But if you're focused on trying to get your needs met and your mate is focused on trying to get their needs met, you're going to have a tug of war the whole time. But you see, if I focus on trying to meet my wife's needs, that's something that I have a better shot at. Okay? Than trying to get her to do what I want. And it turns out, if she's a Christian and she'll do the same thing, and that is focus on meeting my needs, so now I'm focused on meeting her needs and she's focused on meeting my needs, we're going to get along great. This is going to be wonderful. Because the fact of the matter is, while I'm focused on meeting her needs and she's focused on meeting my needs, God is being glorified and we're getting our needs met. I'm telling you. I'm pleading with you to get this. In light of what God has done for us, this is the way we're supposed to live. Each of you should look not only to your own needs, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Even though he was in very nature God. Now, I mean, this tells us something about the nature of the Trinity, doesn't it? It tells us something about the nature of the Godhead. Here it is, clear as can be. Jesus is not less than God. He is in very nature God. But the God of the universe humbled himself and became one of us and took our punishment so that we could be reconciled to him. That is absolutely mind-blowing. That is absolutely amazing. And yet it is via that path that Jesus is now elevated to the highest place. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Now, the description here, verse 7, he made himself nothing. We can't even comprehend that. My privilege here at the ranch is to be the CEO. That means within the organizational structure, I am in the highest executive position as far as decision making, that kind of thing. There is a board that is in charge of me. But I have the privilege of being the chief executive officer. Now, if I took on the role of the lowliest person on campus, that would be a humble thing to do. But it doesn't compare to what God did. Please understand that. It doesn't compare to what God did. We're talking about the infinite ruler of the universe who created the universe. Not just becoming a creature. Not just becoming a man. But becoming a poor man. Becoming a baby. Living in poverty. And dying. And not just dying, but as he says here, even death on a cross. That was the worst way you could die. It was a way that was so horrible that it was illegal to execute a Roman citizen in that way. I mean, if you were a citizen of Rome, you couldn't be executed by crucifixion. It was illegal. No matter what you'd done, no matter what crime you'd committed, it was not okay to execute a Roman citizen by crucifixion. Jesus was crucified for us. We cannot imagine what his position was in glory before the world began. Nor can we imagine the horrible, cruel death that he endured on our behalf. We can't picture how high he was or how low he went. We just can't get it. We are separated from both of those in terms of our understanding. But Jesus not only became obedient to death, but even death on a cross. Next word, therefore. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Now, why does it say therefore? Well, because it's true, but also because it's to instruct us that if you think the way you're going to have a good life is by protecting yourself and your interests and your status, you've really misunderstood things. You really haven't got a clue. When it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, you and I need to learn from that that what Jesus said is true. Whoever exalts himself is going to be humbled. But whoever humbles himself, God's going to lift up. Not only that, but whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it. So I want to be sure we get this. The way to be fulfilled, the way to abundant life, is by laying it all down. And we can do that with confidence if we understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because you see, again, we're not in a situation where we're trying to create a positive outcome where Jesus wins and we get to go to heaven. Jesus has already secured eternal life for us through what he did. And he has been exalted to the highest place. And now tells us, if anyone wants to be my disciple, needs to take up his cross and follow me. If you want to experience real, abundant life, you're going to have to be like Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Being the very nature of a servant, being found in human likeness, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Okay, so if I'm supposed to have an attitude like that, what does that look like practically? We'll go back to the preceding verses. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Got it? So in other words, the way that this plays out for us is that I put other people's interests higher on the docket than my own if I want to be like Jesus. I got to tell you, that requires repeatedly going against my own nature. Because I can't speak for any of you, but personally, I like the biggest piece when I'm in line. Okay? I mean, you know, I just feel like, hey, if you got a little skinny chicken leg, or you got a nice big juicy, chunky, meaty chicken leg, why would you want the little skinny chicken leg? I mean, I want the big one. Come on. That's what I want. That's my nature. That's sin. Well, no, it's not sin. That's perfectly normal. Yeah, sin is perfectly normal. Okay? It's what we do by default. That's why we've got to die to self. And say, well, I think I'll leave that for somebody else. Say, I have to choose a little skinny chicken leg? Well, you can come back and get a second skinny chicken leg if there are leftovers. Okay? But I want you to... Okay, let's be clear. We don't really have any skinny chicken legs around here. They're all big and juicy and wonderful. But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something. In life, there are a lot of skinny chicken legs. Got it? And if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you got to put other people ahead of you. When I was a kid, my brother told me, you haven't been to as many wedding receptions as I have. If you hurry to get at the front of the line, you won't get as big a piece of cake. Because they always cut the little pieces first in order to be sure they're going to have enough. And he said, so hang toward the back. Because by the time that most of the people have gone through, they're realizing they got way too much cake and they start cutting bigger pieces. Gave new meaning to the last shall be first and the first shall be last. I'll just tell you this, in a very real sense, things would go a whole lot better for you if you won't try and put yourself first. Is that clear? Take a lesson. The Puritans would call it enlightened self-interest. It is very stupid to try and advance yourself over others. Jesus said, when you go to a party, don't take one of the best seats. Take one of the worst seats. And then the host may say to you, come, sit closer. And you get to get up and be advanced. But you're going to really hate it if you put yourself up close to the host and he comes over and says, hey, I need this seat for somebody else. You go find one elsewhere. Jesus says, that's really embarrassing. Jesus came, took the worst seat, took our punishment. And now he says, I want you to be like me. And the amazing thing is that here and now, that means we go through difficulty. Here and now, it means sacrifice. But Jesus teaches us to walk with him and to live like him, because one day we're going to share the throne with him. And I want you to know something. The throne's already his, because Jesus Christ is Lord.